Welcome to TSOH Weekly, episode number 8. My name is Alex Morris, TSOH Investment Research Service. With me, as always, Francisco Oliveira, RV Lo Capital Management. Today's company is Paramount, which I'm going to frame the topic by discussing the past investment activity of Berkshire Hathaway. The company disclosed a stake in Paramount back in May of 2022. Disclosed that they had bought 69 million shares. At the time, the stock was around $30. They made a few additional purchases along the way, but good reason to believe that now their current stake of 94 million shares is down at least 50%. With the stock at 13, the market value of that stake's $1.2 billion or so. In terms of the company's financials at a high level, TTM EBITDA for consolidated results peaked back in Q1 of 21 at $5.5 billion. Fast forward to today, Q2 of 23, TTM EBITDA for the company was $2.6 billion. So down more than 50%. And a big driver of that decline has been the company's D2C investments, with TTM EBITDA losses of roughly $1.9 billion. So, you know, you have a market cap that's now less than $10 billion. You have a D2C business losing a good amount of money. You could potentially, you know, consider some strategic changes there, which may or may not be what Mr. Buffett or whoever is buying the stock at Berkshire may be seeing. But I'm gonna kick it over to Francisco. Francisco, what are you seeing at Paramount that you think is interesting in either direction?
Yeah, I think what's really interesting from the Warren Buffett angle is that he was interviewed earlier this year by Becky Quick on CNBC, asking basically, you know, why he bought Paramount, and his answer was, you know, streaming is not a very good business. People in entertainment have made a lot of money, not shareholders. It's a glamorous business. Movie production isn't fundamentally a good business, but there's a lot of people with deep pockets that aren't going to quit. So far, Paramount has attracted subscribers to the streaming service, but at a terrible price. Becky Quick responds by saying, you gave reasons not to buy Paramount. And his answer was, we'll see. And that interview, I believe, was in around April of this year. Since then, free cash flow from Paramount has continued to go negative. And EBITDA has as well continued to decline. They slashed their dividend by, I think, nearly 80%. Because they were having trouble with the rating agencies given their leverage. Their debt to EBITDA ratio captures leverage on the balance sheet is 5.5 times. To put it in perspective, Disney, which many have said have debt issues, and they acquired a lot more debt when they bought Fox, and then going through the pandemic with the parks not making any money, Disney's debt to EBITDA ratio is 2.3 times. So Paramount has more than double the debt that Disney has on a debt to EBITDA ratio. So they're in a difficult situation, right? Because not only did they decide to burn money, invest in streaming, but their linear business is in a harsh decline. And many other channels like MTV, Comedy Central, they have content that's really being disrupted by primarily Netflix and all the streaming platforms. They have sports, but they don't have a sports channel. It's basically all on broadcast television. So basically it's a company that's in a lot of trouble. I think they've been trying to sell assets, right? They announced that they sold Simon & Schuster to KKR. I think it was about $1.6 billion, which will help a little bit with the balance sheet. To put that $1.6 billion in perspective, it's about 19% of the company's current market value. So the market value today is around $8.5 billion, so fairly tiny when you're comparing it with the likes of Netflix and others playing in the streaming space. So from here, if you listen to Bob Bakish, who was on this week at the Goldman Sachs conference, he paints a picture that they're going to focus on their franchises. They're going to do innovative deals with TV distributors to distribute their linear networks and streaming service, which will help growth. They're expanding globally. They have a streaming partnership with Comcast in different parts of Europe, where they combine their streaming services. It paints a picture that, it's they're gonna cut costs, they're gonna stabilize their businesses and turn this around. And but so I think the reality is a lot harsher. They made $500 million of free cash flow in 2021. On an LTM basis is a $1.6 billion free cash flow loss. So they have huge obstacles. I don't, what do you think Warren Buffett sees here, or do you think there's any signs of, not trying to be a super gloom and doom here, but are there any signs that that they could potentially right the ship?
Well, I mean, I think there's a couple different ways. If we're talking about organically, I think the most optimistic things that I think you can say about this business is one, if you look at, a metric like revenues, they've held up fairly well overall. If you kind of want to use it as a proxy for demand for interest in their content or ability to monetize that content, they've done better than most, I'd say, as of late in terms of streaming subscriber growth. They did recently kind of tweak their metric from a company overall D2C number to a Paramount Plus specific number, which skews it in a way that's beneficial to kind of where they're going. And also their ARPUs are quite low, and there's big promises in terms of that improving in the future, but that's to be seen. I think if you look at the financials, you have TTM global streaming revenues of nearly $6 billion. Again, you have almost $2 billion of EBITDA losses against that nearly $6 billion of revenues. I think you come back to the question of, what's the content investment that's underlying those results, and what does that look like that's monetized differently, i.e., through kind of licensing. I'll kick it back to you. What do you Either your own perspective, or if you want to put Warren Buffett's hat on, on a scale of 1 to 10, what do you think his belief is that there's a path that this works out kind of organically without significant M&A, or in their case being the seller, right?
It's hard to see what to understand how Warren Buffett's thinking about this investment, because usually he paints his investments in it is paints a pretty good picture, or a decent picture, even if it's a company that's in trouble. Usually he's harsher after he's gotten out of the investment, right? He's careful of not getting into disappointing the management team and hurting that relationship. So, but to me, he said streaming services are at a terrible price, right? So definitely sees the opportunity to monetize the content better. Now, you could argue, do you need bigger scale, right, and merging with another content company to obtain a better price for the streaming services? That could be an interpretation. I think it's interesting to me. There was an article in the New York Times, well, I think, it might have been 2 years ago at this point, where basically, the Paramount board evaluated strategic alternatives, and I think they said Comcast was a logical merger partner, but then they basically scrapped that. And it's like, we're going for it. We're going for the direct-to-consumer opportunity, and we're going to invest in the business. And fast forward, that's obviously failed. The positives I can say here is, they have good franchises, right? You have Mission Impossible franchise. You just did extremely well with Top Gun about a year ago. They own Star Trek. Nickelodeon has a bunch of different franchises that appeal to kids, and it's content that does well on Netflix when it's on Netflix. They've done, they have Paw Patrol, Ninja Turtles. So there is value here. Now, do you want to scrap your streaming service plans and then just start licensing everything to Netflix and others, or find a merger partner? There's a path for this content. Now, in the current structure of the company, I don't think they're best positioned to monetize that content, particularly because how tied they are to the linear business. But if they have to be open-minded here, calling up Netflix, calling up other media players, because I think at the current structure today, I don't think it's pretty sustainable. And if you get a much bigger hiccup in the linear business or bigger losses on your streaming service than you originally thought, then you have a lot of debt here. So the market cap could easily continue to go lower.
Yeah, that debt comment is maybe a good place to kind of wrap this up with something that Buffett said at the most recent Berkshire annual meeting. He said, "You've got a lot of strong companies that don't want to quit." That's an interesting equation. And as we run through the list of the key players in this business, at least the U.S. media companies, Paramount's either bottom of the list or potentially competing for the second to bottom spot amongst the key players in terms of lack of strength. Whether that's a positive or a negative depends on how you're thinking about the investment, I guess is how I'd frame that.
Yep, agreed.